from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Jared and the GM, with Jared Stillman and Floyd Reese.
On ESPN.
1025, The Game.
And it is Jared and the GM on ESPN 1025, The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. He's Floyd Reese. I'm Jared Stillman. Ian Safar in our update studio is back from taking a lap, and he has given me the list of all the guys, apparently, that it is being leaked out that are going to be selected by the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Are you ready for this list, Floyd?
Yes, sir.
Alexi Emmerlin from Montreal, Mark Methot from Ottawa, and God, I hope there's a trade to the Predators for Mark Methot after that. Cody Eakin, Dallas, David Perron, St. Louis, Eric Halla, Minnesota, Oscar Lindberg, New York, Brendan Lipsick from Toronto, Clayton Stoner from Anaheim, Brendan McNabb from L.A., Marc-Andre Fleury from the Pittsburgh Penguins, Jonathan Marchessault, is that right? Marchessault? Jonathan Marchessault from Florida, William Karlsson from Columbus, Colin Miller from Boston, and Griffin Reinhart from Edmonton are all on the list. So by my count, that's half the league right there in picks that have already leaked out for this thing tonight. The Nashville Predators' name did not leak out on that, that being either James Neal or Colton Sissons or perhaps Pontus Aubrey. And I wonder, you know, Bob McKenzie at TSN says he expects, but is not reporting that, but he expects James Neal to be picked up by Vegas. So, one, why has the Predators player's name, why has Neal's name not come out yet with all these other guys whose names have come out? You as a GM would maybe have some insight into that. And then, you know, does that mean they could be working a deal out to keep Neal from going to Vegas, even in the hours before we get to what ends up happening?
That's certainly a possibility. I would be probably more inclined to think that there's a deal worked out with somebody else for him to go someplace else.
But then wouldn't his name have been leaked out and that fact be leaked out with it?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think there are any trades leaked out with those names, right?
Well,
those
I think most people are expecting Mark Methot at Ottawa to be flipped. So the defenseman to be flipped somewhere else. But there is no report that he's being flipped anywhere else.
Yeah. I mean, the list that we got so far, all those guys are just clean, you know, names, no action before or after. And you said there's half of them there. I don't know. You know, maybe the smaller market, we're doing a better job of keeping it quiet. Or,
well, supposedly Vegas had to have their list submitted this morning to the league. So
right. They
had to send it this morning. So if they're going to take Neal, then they had to have said this morning to the league that they were going to take Neal. The one caveat that I have in all this is what I think's happening. The reason that I think Brendan Lipsick's name is getting out there, or Oscar Lindberg's name, or Jonathan Marchessault's name is getting out there of all these guys off this list is I think what's happening is the teams are calling the player or their agent and saying, hey, you've been claimed by Vegas, so we wish you nothing but the best. You were a great citizen here. God bless you, and you know, here's a box to clean out your stuff. And I feel like that then the agent is going to Bob McKenzie or Elliot Friedman or CapFriendly.com or whoever that's reporting it, and they're saying, hey, Jonathan Marchessault has been picked by Vegas, and then the guy gets out there and reports it. You know, similarly to how Schefter would report it if Schefter were to come out through all of this. Mm-hmm. So my thinking in that regard is that James Neal or James Neal's agent has not been informed yet that the Nashville Predators have given him and he has been claimed by the Vegas Golden Knights, which once again makes me think that maybe David Poile and George McPhee are still trying to work out a deal, because even though I technically think it's against the rules, it may not be when all is said and done in this. So I don't know if David Poile is still at this last minute trying to make a deal to save James Neal. Now here's the other side of James Neal. And we'll talk to Andrew Berkshire from Sportsnet in Canada in about 10 minutes, and he does all the analytics. But, I mean, I don't think Neal is that big of a deal to the Predators. He's a good player, but you knew you were going to have to lose a good player anyways. I don't think it's that big of a deal. We had Chris Mason on, Preds analyst, former Preds goalie yesterday, and he kind of pointed out that either he or Sissons, they'll be fine.
anybody is replaceable. There's no question. You could find somebody that could replace either of those guys and a very serviceable guy, because there'll be lots of free agents. You know, after you scour the rosters and see everybody that's available through this, you know, expansion draft, the guys are going to be UFAs. You could definitely address any need that you lose in this expansion draft, for sure.
So maybe David Poyle's trying to work a deal to save James Neal. Maybe not. But I don't. If you lose James Neal tonight, you move on. And I don't think it's that hard to do.
My experience in these situations is it's not necessarily losing Neal, although I place more value on him than you do. But I think two things here. I mean, I think there's his leadership and his maturity. And the worst thing that can happen to you is the scariest, which is whoever it is that's supposed to take his place gets hurt. Mm-hmm. And so now you're not down one guy, you're down two guys. So
and the guy who's supposed to take his place is Fiala.
You go from a 2 to a 4. And so now you're trying to win the Stanley Cup with a fourth line guy playing in your second line, and that's where you get in real trouble.
Let's go to your phone, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. JJ, what's going on? What's up, JJ?
What's up, gentlemen? Hey, I just wanted to – I may be missing something here, but why wouldn't they – there may be a rule against this, but why would they have not put Mike Fisher up and protect Colton Sissons if they thought there was a chance that Sissons was going to get taken? If in fact they were to take Mike Fisher and he retires, then there's no harm, no foul on our end.
Because it's not a list, JJ. It's not a list of who you, and I appreciate your call. It's not a list of who you are willing to give away. It's a list of who you're willing to protect. So, you know, Mike Fisher doesn't even have a contract for next year. So I don't even think could protect him if they wanted to. But Mike Fisher can technically be taken by the Vegas Golden Knights. Now, that would be thoroughly one of the stupidest things to ever happen in the NHL if they were to take Mike Fisher, who does not have a contract and is contemplating retirement, but they technically can do that. And the only reason that I guess I'm not totally convinced that it's not out of the realm of possibility is because, as I said, it would be one of the dumber things in the history of the NHL, and the man making these calls is George McPhee, who, of course, made one of the dumbest moves in the history of the NHL when he traded Philip Forsberg to the Predators. So I'm not going to totally rule out a dumb move from George McPhee, but I'm pretty much going to rule out that one. Mike Fisher is not protected, and Colton Sissons is not protected either. It is a list of how many guys you can protect, not who you're willing to give up, if that clarifies anything. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Josh is up next here on Jared and the GM. What's up, Josh?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm sure y'all have more access to the rumors and whatnot, but I know on Facebook, on the Nashville Predators feed.
Hold on one second. Let me prepare myself for this. Okay, go ahead.
They're already saying that Neil is gone, so like I said, I'm sure y'all have more access than I do to stuff, but that's what the Nashville Predators feed is. It's saying
the one on Facebook.
Yes.
All right. I appreciate it, Josh. Floyd, your thoughts.
Is that put out by the Preds?
No.
It's not a Preds Facebook.
No, it's not the Predators official Facebook account. No.
I have no idea.
But Ian, can we get a little?
I don't know.
Breaking news: according to Facebook, the people on Facebook, Neil's already gone. Oh, man. You know what's great? Ricky Merritt, who's a co-host on the high school football show with Chase during the fall. Ricky Merritt, will always give updates during the Titans season about Titans Facebook. And some of these Titans Facebook things are just out of control. Like, unbelievably out of control. In fact, we were talking the other day, Pope, our engineer when we do remote broadcasts, Pope had tweeted out to Ricky asking how on fire was Titans Facebook after the signing of Eric Decker. Look, Facebook is the number one place where you are not going to get information in America. So unless it is the Preds' Facebook or the NHL's Facebook or the Vegas Golden Knights' Facebook, that says James Neal has been taken, then it's probably not, you know, accurate.
But Twitter is?
Well, it depends on who's tweeting. So
doesn't it matter on who's Facebooking?
No, and these things, it's just random people that go on there, like random people on Twitter. You know, like the people that have blue check marks never say that my show stinks. They all like the show, except for, you know, the occasional country music hack out there. But everybody else, you know, but it's, you know, Vol Jimmy 27, who's, yeah, your show's the worst show I've ever seen. That is the, you know, that's the Titan Facebook kind of guy. I just, you know, you're never going to get a lot in life from Facebook. I have Facebook, but, you know, Floyd, I know you don't have Facebook. I'm just going to let you know that there's not a lot you get out of Facebook. In fact, here's one of the here's one of the posts from Titans Facebook. When the Titans lost to the Jags, that hurt my heart, man. With that said, I had a really, really bad year. I lost my career, my fiance left me for another man, and I was lost completely as a person until I found this group. I live in Ravens and Redskins Nation, so I don't get to meet many Titans fans. Watching the Titans play with heart this year and meaning, and meeting a lot of you really helped me out these last few months, more than some of you will even comprehend. I think all the true Titans fans in here, we had a great year, and this is only the beginning. The other fake fans who say, fire the coach, cut Mariota, cut DeMarco, go whatever. That is Facebook for you. Mm. So there you go. Andrew Berkshire from Sportsnet in Canada will join us next. We'll ask him about the impact of losing James Neal, what he's hearing about, who he would take between Neal and Sissons, and much more. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Still no official leakage from a TSN or a Sportsnet or one of the insiders about James Neal. Now, I think it's Neal who's probably going to be picked, but I did run my poll on Twitter yesterday about whether or not, about who was going to be picked, or who is David Poyle most worried about losing to Vegas, and here was the final results of the poll. You ready for this, Floyd?
I can't wait.
50% said Colton Sissons, 29% James Neal, 21% Pontus Aubergh. So the fans are more worried about Colton Sissons, but it seems like it's probably going to be James Neal. And Andrew Berkshire joins us now from Sportsnet in Canada. So, Andrew, I guess the question I want to start off with in this is, how much will the Nashville Predators lose today if James Neal is selected by the Vegas Golden Knights?
Oh, well, they'll definitely lose in terms of goal scoring, because that's a guy that's pretty tough to replace in terms of just firing the puck through goalies. You know, he's a very good sniper. He is probably their second best pure finisher after Philippe Forsberg. But at the same time, we've got to remember that James Neal is at an age where his personal shots on goal are starting to decline. If you go to sites like stats.hockeyanalysis.com, you can check how many shots he's putting on net per minute played at even strength year after year. And it's been dropping pretty consistently the last 4 or 5 years here. So you see that it is a player that is no longer in his peak years. That doesn't mean he's not really good. He is very good. He's probably still a 25-goal guy going forward for the next couple of years. But he's also, you know, an unrestricted free agent in a year from now. So he would command a large salary based on what he's already done, because players in the NHL are paid more for what they have done than what they will do. So overall, if the Predators lose James Neal, I kind of see that as a positive for what they could lose. Because if you lose a guy who can competently play center in the playoffs, like Colton Sissons, who's really young and really cheap, that's a much bigger blow to the future of the Predators, I think. Because Neal's probably going to get paid more than what he's worth on his next contract. So you're really losing 1 year of a really good player instead of many years for a cost-controlled player.
And that was what I was going to ask you next was, if you were Vegas, based upon the statistics, who would you want on your team between Neal, Sissons? And we've included Aubergh in the mix, but I think it's probably really between Neal and Sissons. Who do you think you would pick if you were Vegas?
I think I would take Sissons because, you know, the age factor and the contract is so good. But one guy that I wouldn't ignore is Craig Smith. I know he had a really terrible year this year, but, you know, he had three straight seasons of, I think, 21 or more goals, gusting up to 25, and he's a huge play driver. He's had ridiculous amounts of success whenever he's with another player who can, you know, drive play fairly well, guys like Philippe Forsberg or Mike Ribeiro before he kind of fell off a cliff. He's a really good player. So I think the Predators are, in a way, really lucky that Craig Smith had a really bad year last year, because he's now almost totally off the radar. And, you know, he's not cheap either, but he's a little bit cheaper than Neil. And I think that when he gets put, you know, one slot further up in the lineup next year than he is this year, you're probably going to see him return to that same pace and, you know, maybe even replace what Neil was bringing. So I think he's a guy that if I were Vegas, I'd be looking very intently at to see if that year was more of a random bad year, or if there was something wrong that needed to be fixed, or if he's, you know, no longer as effective. But his underlying numbers are still great. He produces a ton of scoring chances for his line mates, produces a ton of scoring chances individually, and he's a pretty good shooter. So he's a really good player that I think Nashville Predators fans are going to come to appreciate again next year.
Andrew, as you look at the numbers of the players that are still on the roster, let's assume that Neil is gone. Who do you see having the best opportunity of replacing the 25 goals that Neil might give us?
I think it's going to be by committee, because there's nobody who's going to, you know, add 25 personal goals, right? I think that Pontus Aubergh has a really good chance of breaking out next year, but I don't think that he's, you know, of the same talent level as Victor Arvidsson, where he came out of nowhere from a lot of people's perspectives this year and scored 30. Well, Arvidsson puts up a ton of scoring chances and a ton of shots. Aubergh is good, but not at that same level. So I could see him, you know, putting up between 15 and 22 goals, that kind of range. So that could help a lot. Colton Sissons, I expect to take a huge step next year. His confidence must be through the roof after what he was able to do when he had to take over for Ryan Johansson going down in the playoffs. And I think Craig Smith, like I mentioned before, he's going to have a bounce back year. So I think you've got three guys there who are in good positions going forward to replace Neil's goal. I also think it would be helpful for the Predators to add another forward to boost their offense a little bit. I think we saw in the playoffs, especially in the Stanley Cup final, that they needed that. You know, with Ryan Johansson out especially, they needed somebody to take the reins a little bit and get some goals. So that's something they've got to look for.
What would you, just your opinion on these guys that have not been protected on any team, I don't care who the team is, that will return to the team that have some kind of a reputation, somebody that's been a player, somebody that's pretty good? How do you see that being handled in the locker room?
That's tough, because, you know, it depends on the player, obviously. Some guys kind of take that in stride. I think the guy that I wonder about the most is Dion Phaneuf in Ottawa, where, you know, he waived his no-trade clause to go to Ottawa in the first place. And the Senators notoriously have trouble attracting players, so that was a big deal for them. They asked him to waive his no-movement clause to be exposed in the draft, and he refused, which is his right. I don't think anybody should criticize him for that. And then they asked him to submit his 10-team no-trade list so they could try to trade him before the expansion draft. So this is the guy who's, you know, he took a risk going to Ottawa by waiving his no-trade clause, then was asked twice in two separate ways to allow them to move him off the team, and he will likely now be coming back to them. So he's a guy who in the past has been in leadership positions. I wonder how that's going to impact in the locker room. So he's, you know, the most extreme example. I feel like he's probably a guy who will let that roll off of his back a little bit. There's probably going to be a few hurt egos around the NHL, but at the end of the day, once you're back in the locker room, it's probably just business as usual.
Andrew Berkshire is our guest from Sportsnet in Canada. If you had to circle the team that may be hurt the most by today with whom Vegas picks, who do you think it might be?
Well, I originally thought it would be the Minnesota Wild because, you know, they exposed Eric Staal, and how exactly could the Vegas Golden Knights pass on getting essentially a number one center in a shutdown role who put up 65 points last year, you know, had a reasonable contract, but then they went out and picked Eric Halla, apparently, and signed him to a new contract. So there's some weird picks going on, and I'm assuming a lot of them are due to side deals, but so far, based on the picks that have been made, the only one that I see that's been, you know, a little bit worrying for a team is that it's apparently David Perron has went to Vegas. So that's a good scorer in St. Louis, a good versatile two-way player that they've lost. I feel like with that team already kind of in transition away from their competitive years towards like a bit of a soft rebuild trying to get back there, that might be a big enough hit that they're out of the playoffs next year.
Andrew Berkshire from Sportsnet in Canada. Andrew, appreciate it, by the way. I hope that they listen to you in Vegas, and I hope they take Craig Smith. So really appreciate it, as always, Andrew.
Andrew, one quick question.
Oh, go ahead.
David Poile is up for GM of the year or whatever it is tonight. What are his chances?
Oh, I would hope they're pretty good considering they voted in the playoffs. So they saw the changes that he made worked out really well. Between the trades that he's made the last couple of years, you got to think that he's the odds-on favorite.
Great. Thank you.
Andrew, appreciate it, bud. Thank you.
Anytime.
Yep. Andrew Berkshire from Sportsnet in Canada there. By the way, when he threw that Craig Smith curveball out there, I think everybody in their car said, you know, if Vegas wants to take Craig Smith, he's a nice guy. And he had a, you know, when he had the Craig Smith show here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, it was a pretty doggone good show. But, you know, if Las Vegas takes him, we all wish him nothing but the best. But if Las Vegas takes Craig Smith, they will party on Broadway. And I'm just saying, they're not going to take Craig Smith. So there's that. 615-737-1025. Okay, there was something that Peter Laviolette did that we didn't know about until lately that I want to get to next. Something Peter Laviolette said and did, and we didn't know about it until just recently. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game for all the latest news, coverage, and everything sports. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Twitter at 102.5 The Game, Instagram at The Game Nashville, and download our app, The Game Nashville, to listen to Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm on Twitter at Jared Stillman. The blue check mark lets you know it's me. And on Instagram at The Jared Stillman. Everybody needs to follow both of those right now, especially the Instagram at The Jared Stillman. Okay, what Peter Laviolette said and did next. It's Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We showed up to a battle, the battle of our lives, with no attitude whatsoever. That can all change in 20 minutes. Everybody in here start hitting. Everybody start skating. Everybody start competing. Our game, let's go.
Okay. That was Peter Laviolette on the Showtime special behind the scenes of the Stanley Cup Final. That was Game 5, okay? So the Predators go on the road to Pittsburgh in Game 5, and they're down 3-0 at the first intermission, right?
Yes.
And it was a bad first period.
Ugly.
You know, there are a lot of things that I'll go to my grave thinking, like conspiracy theories. Like, I think Michael Jordan personally was banned from the NBA for 2 years for gambling, and that's why he went to baseball. That's what I believe. You may believe otherwise, but that's what I believe. And there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there, but I will never understand. And you can tell me however you want, and you can give me all these insider things or whatever. I'll never understand why the Predators did not show up in the first period of Game 5 at Pittsburgh. I'll never understand it. But you heard what he said at intermission. We'll play that again here in a second. But I'm watching the Showtime special this morning. I'm sitting there, and I've got my, you know, I'm sitting there watching this Showtime special, the behind the scenes of the Stanley Cup Final, and the Predators kick out Showtime out of the locker room after the first intermission. So the Predators are literally telling Showtime, get out of the locker room. So Showtime gets out of the locker room, and they're standing behind the door. And you can hear Peter Laviolette's intermission speech. This was the intermission speech, once again, after they came out and played so horribly in that first period. This is what Peter said.
We showed up to a battle, the battle of our lives, with no attitude whatsoever. That can all change in 20 minutes. Everybody in here start hitting. Everybody start skating. Everybody start competing. Our game, let's go.
Okay, that sounds like your typical rah-rah coach speech, right?
Right.
Okay, but here's what I don't get. So Peter's clearly blaming everybody in the locker room for why they're down 3-0. Hey, it's our fault. You know, this is the game of our lives, and we showed up with no attitude. We can all agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, we're still trying to figure out how that happened. But then he starts going, everyone starts skating, everyone starts hitting, everyone starts competing. And then what's the exact next thing he does as a coach? The next thing he does, he takes Pekka Rinne out of the game. And I'm not here to analyze, overanalyze Game 5, but I just saw the Showtime special because it aired this weekend. I just saw it, and I heard that, and I said, wait a minute. How are you going to tell everybody in that room? You're Peter Laviolette. How do you tell everybody in that room, hey, we're going to go out there and we're going to change this. We're going to fix this. Because that's basically the message. We're going to change this in the next 20 minutes. Oh, and by the way, I'm putting in the 20-year-old to play goalie. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, well, you're waving the white flag when you take Pekka Rinne out of the game. And I know all the hockey people will say to me, well, Jared, coaches change the goalie sometimes to just change the flow of the game. And you're not beating Pittsburgh without Pekka Rinne. So why, if you're blaming everybody else and telling everybody to play better, and hey, we were awful in the first period, but we're going to right the ship now, why are you taking Pekka Rinne out of the game?
That's a little bit confusing right there. I don't know why you would go through all of that. And I'm not disputing what he said in the locker room. I mean, you know, there are probably people that would agree with what he was said.
Oh, he's 100% right.
But to turn around and take out your best player, you know, it's kind of like, okay, we're going to go back out there and fight, fight, fight. Hey, Tom Brady, come over here and sit with me. We're going to send young Jimmy in.
Right.
Wait a minute. Aren't we trying to win here?
When does Brady come out of games? When it is 38-3 in the fourth quarter and Bill says that's enough. Remember the Kansas City game, Bill pulled Brady, and everyone kept asking, is Brady still going to be the starter? Is it time for Jimmy? That game was over. Bill, when he took Brady out, was waving the white flag, saying, right, hey, we're done in this Monday Night Football game. It's over.
Yep.
Jimmy, go ahead. That's what I thought he was doing when he put UC Soros into the game. I thought it was like, all right, kid, go knock him dead. If you win, good. If not, we'll get ready for Game 6 at home. And then Peter is telling the team, we're going to change it in 20 minutes. Let's go. Give me the Peter rah-rah speech again, please.
We showed up to a battle, the battle of our lives, with no attitude whatsoever. That can all change in 20 minutes. Everybody in here start hitting. Everybody start skating. Everybody start competing. Our game. Let's go.
Everybody except Pekka, you sit there. You stay. I don't get it.
And then they put the young kid in. The first thing that happened, the first 2 minutes, goal.
Bang.
Yeah. And now if you're on the bench, you're going, what happened?
You know? Well, I was sitting there watching it when they scored, and I said, well, I guess the Predators, it wasn't Pekka's fault. I mean, but this is, I really can't get it. I didn't like the, and I said this on the air after Game 5, I didn't like the decision to pull Pekka Rinne, but when I heard that was the intermission speech, I feel even worse about the decision to pull Pekka Rinne. You can't tell everybody in the room. You cannot tell them it's all their faults. And now I'm taking the goalie out. And you know, I talked about this with Willie and Darren during one of the breaks of their show, and they were giving me the, in hockey, the coach will pull the goalie sometimes to change things up, to give them a jolt. Well, sometimes in the NFL you switch quarterbacks, right, to give them a jolt, but you don't do it with Aaron Rodgers. You don't do it with Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. If the Titans are getting their butt kicked at halftime, they're not putting Matt Cassel in the game.
No, Marcus will play the whole game.
That's why and this was Peter after the game to the media. Once again, the Showtime stuff is behind the scenes. This is Peter to the media after the game on the goalie change.
We changed it up just to change the game in a different direction. I don't think that we did things wrong in front of our goaltenders tonight. When we did do something wrong, they capitalized on us and made us pay. They're an opportunistic team, and especially in this building, we need to do a better job. The start of the game, the first period, just getting the game to a point where we're still in it by the end of the first period. So we made a change just to give it a different look, but we didn't get much better in front of UC either.
See, to me, you can't. Don't take out Pekka Rinne when they're not Pekka Rinne problems. You know, like they took Pekka Rinne out of a game against Calgary in February and they ended up going to overtime and losing. Pecorine was the problem that night. That's why you took him out. If you want to take out Pekka in game two when they score three goals in the third period, fine. But don't take Pecorine out if it's not Pekka's problem. You can want to change the game. I get it. It, you know, slows the game down for a second. It kind of changes the energy. But it hurts you because you're taking your best player off the ice. I don't know of any sport where you take your best player out and don't bring him back in and it makes you better. Like in baseball, the equivalent of this would be baseball, right? You take the starting pitcher out. Hey, it wasn't Jimmy's night, so let's make the call to the bullpen. I know he's our ace, but let's go take him out. But my thing here is if the entire team had made a bunch of errors, so it's ground ball error, pop fly error, ground ball error, strike three, catcher drops it, and now all of a sudden you're down 3-0 in baseball, are you going to take the pitcher out for that? I don't think you take your ace pitcher out. I think you tell your defense, pick it up. And Peter was giving them the pick it up speech in the locker room. But then when he takes Pecorine out, that is a message to everyone that the game is over.
Well, we talked about this the day after that all happened. And I remember saying, you know, the part that is really misunderstood about this whole thing is that the defense as a group did not play good. I mean, no one did. And they didn't play good with either goalie. But the only one that got penalized was Pekka, because they took Pekka, you know, they embarrassed him and in a playoff situation, took him out of the game as if, okay, it's your fault, and, you know, go from there. So, I mean, I agree with you. I don't understand. That's a little bit confusing.
But I can understand thing. If they took him out to say, you know what, we're down 3-0 in game five, screw it, let's go to game six. That I understand. But to have your verbal message to the team be, we're not giving up, we're going to get back in this, and then have your action message or what you do be to take Pecorine out of the game, those two things don't add up.
Right.
That's like the positive side of a battery and a negative side of a battery. Those two, that doesn't make any sense. Once again, you play the Peter clip of him in the locker room at intermission. Play the Peter clip, and this is what he said, and tell me that taking Pecorine out doesn't just totally nullify this, what he's saying.
We showed up to a battle, the battle of our lives, with no attitude whatsoever. That can all change in 20 minutes. Everybody in here start hitting. Everybody start skating. Everybody start competing. Our game, let's go.
And now I'm taking Pecorine out. I don't get it. I seriously do not get it. And I'm not trying to be a hater. I'm just, how can that be your message to the team and then you take the goalie out?
Yeah, I don't, you know what? I'm lost for words. I have no idea.
So you all know, everybody knows, I think Peter Laviolette is a great coach. And I am on record as saying that. I am on record of being called a Peter Laviolette Bobo by somebody on this show. I am a Peter Laviolette supporter. I do not even think you sniff the Stanley Cup final if it's not for Peter Laviolette. But what is Peter doing there? I don't get it. Somebody give me an answer. So we'll open up the phone lines. I want the reaction to the intermission report. 615-737-1025 is our number. 615-737-1025. I want the reaction to the intermission talk to the team, in which Showtime was kicked out. This was shown on Showtime's All Access, The Quest for the Stanley Cup. And this was shown there, and that's what he said, and then pulling Pekka is what he did. Because it doesn't make any sense to me. And I did like a triple take this morning when I saw that, and I went and rewound it to watch it again, because I'm like, wait a minute, that was his message to the team, and then the next thing he did was pull Pekka? So I'm still trying to figure that out. And I know, look, Game 5 was, what, a month ago or 20 days ago or whatever, but we just now have this new information that I'm struggling to understand. So we'll take your call. 615-737-1025. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 1025, The Game. Live from The Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Okay. Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final, tied at 2. The Preds go to Pittsburgh and lay a complete egg in the first period, most notably Yannick Weber with one of the most ridiculous decisions of the entire Stanley Cup playoffs that led to the third Pittsburgh goal. You're down 3-0 at intermission. And it was not pretty. And on the Showtime All Access, the quest for the Stanley Cup, the Predators had asked Showtime to leave the locker room. Showtime then put their camera right outside the locker room, which I guess kind of defeats the purpose of them not being in the locker room. But Showtime then puts their camera right outside the locker room, and down 3-0, this was Peter Laviolette's message to the team.
We showed up to a battle, the battle of our lives, with no attitude whatsoever. That can all change in 20 minutes. Everybody in here start hitting. Everybody start skating. Everybody start competing. Our game, let's go.
Yeah, but then after that, he pulls Pecorine, which to me is kind of like an oxymoron, right? Like, you know, wait, we're going to get out there, we're going to fix it, and then you pull the goalie. And the only thing I can come up with, and I'll get right to the calls because we got loaded phone lines. The only thing I can come up with, honestly, is that Peter panicked a little bit.
Panic?
A little bit. You know, I think Peter's a great coach. I do. But that doesn't mean that I have to agree with every decision that he makes. And I think that, you know, he probably said to himself, if it gets to 3, I'm going to take him out. And then it got to 3. And so because it had got to 3, he said, well, I'm just going to take him out. And then that's kind of the prototypical speech you give the team. So he was sending, he wasn't thinking about the how those two messages lined up for what he wanted to have happen. So the one message was, you know, what do coaches say down 3-0 in the locker room? Well, that's what a coach says. And then what do coaches do down 3-0? Well, they usually pull the goalie. So he kind of went with that as opposed to knowing that the two messages would match up.
Hmm.
That's the best I got for you.
All right.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes more sense than what actually happened, right?
Yes.
Let's go to your phones. Jasmine is up next on Jared and the GM. What's up, Jasmine?
Hey, guys. So I'm only home listening to you, and you're ranting about Lobby taking out Rene, but are we forgetting about the stellar performance that UC Saros played against the Penguins during the regular season whenever everybody else was sick? We didn't have our top defense and our top players, our top goalie, and he still forced a shutout.
Yeah, but what happened in November is, to me, not really – that doesn't matter what's going to happen in the Stanley Cup Final, especially considering that the reason that you were tied at 2 games apiece going into Game 5 was because of Pecorine. I mean, I think we can all agree that for the Nashville Predators to win the Stanley Cup, Pecorine was going to have to play really well on the road in one game. One of those games he was going to have to play well. And the refs were going to have to ref the game right, which they did not in Games 5 and 6, especially Game 5.
So good at home and struggle on the road.
You know, we never got into that about why Pekka was
so shaky
in Pittsburgh, but I'm still, you know, look, I love, you know, I talk about how much I love Peter, and I think Peter's a great coach. I love UC Saros, too.
Mm-hmm.
But Pecorine got you here. And for you to have the message of we're going to turn this around and then take Pekka out, I just felt like that was a little, it felt like a waving of the white flag. Let's go to Gary, who's up next. What's up, Gary?
I would like to say that I don't think it's a real good comparison to the NFL because in the NHL, goalies are a bit more interchangeable. They both play some, no matter how dominant the primary starter is. And secondly, I think the important thing is that he was concerned about Rene physically and perhaps his psyche a little bit. And in games, and whatever he did worked because in Game 6, Rene came back really strong and on the mark. And had it not been for some things not quite going our way, it might have forced the Game 7. And in that case, he would have had to stand on his head. But what he did basically worked. I don't think he thought we were coming back in that situation.
But his message to the team was about coming back. That's my take, Gary, is don't make your message about everybody else in the room has to get better if you're going to pull the goalie.
I don't think he probably was thinking they were going to come back and win that game. I think what he wanted to see was for them to snap out of it and get back to playing their game. And I think that they heard that. I don't know that they really responded to it, but I don't think Rennie being pulled either way was going to really impact that.
Floyd, what do you think about that? Gary, I think that's actually not a bad take. What do you think about that, Floyd? The idea that Peter knows the game's over, so he takes Pecorine out, but he's not going to walk into the locker room and say, hey, guys, game's over. Go ahead and get ready for Game 6.
Right. I mean, when you take Peck out, now this is just me, in this series, in the finals, the game's over.
He's your guy.
Yeah. When you take him out, you're saying, whether you say it verbally, whether your body language says it, whatever the case may be, the chances of you coming back, nothing against Young Soros, nothing against him. But, you know, I mean, he's played differently in the playoffs than he did in the regular season. And there was absolutely nothing in my mind that said, okay, he's gonna some way turn it around. And then, of course, the first thing that happens is they score a goal. And then, you know what? It's like, okay, it's wide open now. This is a, you know, shootout at the OK Corral kind of thing. It's going to be a mess.
I don't disagree with the take that internally Peter may have thought the game was over. But maybe I just feel like the speech should have been different than if you think the game is over as a coach.
Yeah, I mean, I think the speech then becomes, hey, listen, we got to go out here and compete. We got to find a way to score some goals. We've got to do...
Send the message for game six.
Yeah, you know, and get and set it up for later on. But, I mean, he, you know, he made this sound not personal because it's not personal, but, I mean, he's pointing the fingers at somebody, you know, or
he's saying
or
that
everybody.
We can get back in this, guys.
Yeah.
Believe me, we can get back in this. We can do this. Now I'm taking Pekka out.
And
well,
I think as soon as you say that, you know, you maybe think, okay, let's go ahead and figure this thing out. And then you walk out, and the first thing that happens is Pekka comes out. And I think you kind of double take. You know, you kind of sit back down and go, uh-oh, this is going to be hard now. It's going to be really hard.
Ben is up next on Pekkarinne. What's up, Ben?
Hey, so I really don't think it's fair to say that he panicked. I think you're right to point out that more it being Pekka's play, the defensive lines did not play well. But this isn't basketball or football where you can just sit, you know, your three defensive lines down because they were playing really poorly. To me, the speech felt like changing the tone and the attitude of the game, playing for game six, playing for future games, but getting back to Preds hockey. And I would make one reference to Coach Popovich with the Spurs. He does this a lot if the Spurs starters are getting blitzed, like Pekka was and like the defensive lines were. He pulls Duncan, he pulls Parker, and he lets his bench play. But he's firing up the entire team the whole time.
Yeah, but I just think it hurts you so much when Pekkarinne goes out of the game, just from a talent standpoint of, you know, when he comes out, he's your best player, he comes out of the game, that it – I don't know. The idea that that Peter's speech was for game six, I can't believe that, because when he says you've got 20 minutes to turn it around, to me, that is – that right there is not a speech about game six. That's a speech about game five.
And they've gotten into games before, you know, with first period behind 3-0 and tied it up, you know. So, I mean, it's not like it's
– they did it in that series down 3-0 with Pekkarinne in goal,
yeah,
and came back.
Not like it's completely out of the question. Now, is it going to be hard? Yeah, it is. But as soon as you take Pekka out, it's going to be really hard.
Here's my other question, too. Like, that it just kind of went off in my head. Peter said it. Game of your life in game five. Now, sometimes we get – you know, too worked up about, hey, this is for all the marbles. It's a Thursday night in November against Calgary. Oh, yeah, but it is so big. Was game five the series? Was that, you know, Peter says game of your life. And you look back on it, obviously if you win game five, you don't have to win game six. And maybe the tone of game six is different if you have a chance to clinch. I said on the air, they were playing for the cup that night, because if they won game five, they were going to win game six in Nashville. So now that we look back on it and you hear Peter say game of your life, do you think that there's some truth to that, that game five was the series?
I mean, the way it turned out, you could certainly say that.
Because what you did by not showing up in game five was you put it in the ref's hands in game six.
Well, yeah, that. And you know, you gave them an opportunity to do what they've done the last few years, few times they've won the Stanley Cup, win it on the road. It's so I don't know. I mean, I think we were shocked. We were shocked by that performance at five. And to be honest, I mean, I think people, just about everybody in Nashville, was shocked at the fact that we didn't win at home. I mean, I think that was, you know, a lot of people would have guaranteed that.
but you know, though, when like a coach comes out after a bad call happens and says, hey, we don't leave it to the officials, that's our fault for putting ourselves in that position, we do not leave it, well, you, as Peter said, game of your life, and you come out with no attitude in game five, that might have been the series right there. You know, because as you said, the preliminaries were out of the way. When we got to game five, the preliminaries were done. And now it's a best of three, and you're playing for real. And no attitude in game five, that could have cost them the series. There's a part of me that thinks that it did. And because game six, you lose on a bad call, if you come out with some attitude in game five, it takes it away from the official to cost you the series in game six. So I just kind of want to add that as well. We'll take more calls. 615-737-1025 on the Predators. 615-737-1025. Everybody's looking at this expansion draft like it's a bad thing. But is there a way for David Poile to turn this into a huge win for the Predators? We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.